I want to talk this morning on the subject of the God who is with us in the storm. And I first wrote this sermon and preached this sermon in our church at the start of coronavirus. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we're coming through the most challenging season of all that stuff. But as I was thinking about what to preach, I was just thinking, you know what, like, coronavirus or no coronavirus, life is difficult for most of us most of the time, right? I don't know many of you, and I certainly don't know any of you well enough to know what the challenges are that you're facing this week or this month or this year, but I can be pretty sure that every single one of us is facing some real storms and waves that come crashing into our lives. It could be related to coronavirus, it could be financial things, it could be health things, it could be mental health things, it could be relational pain, it could be bereavement or grief. All sorts of things come crashing into our life. And I suppose all I want to do today is encourage us and exhort us that God is with us in the storm. And so we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Many of you will be familiar with the story of Jesus calming the storm. And that's the story we're going to go to. It's in three of the Gospels, but we're going to read it from Mark's Gospel together. So why don't I do that? Starting in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's an incredible story, right? It's a story that I absolutely love. I want to try and draw out six things that I think can encourage us today as we think about the storms of our own lives. And the first one is this. I want you to see that God leads his people into the storm. Have a look at verse 35, that first verse that we looked at. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go to the other side." This is probably the hardest of my 6 points to get our heads around, but it's also a really important one, that the suffering that we see in our lives is part of God's plan for our lives. For us to follow Jesus does not exclude us from the storms of and sufferings of our life, right? And you know, sometimes I think we can have this view, and possibly unintentionally, that God never wants anything bad to happen to us. That God's only desire for our life is to bless us, and that the Christian life is somehow like walking on, you know, cloud number 9, or like, you know, it's like boating on a lily pond on a summer's day, right? And the reality is, if your life's anything like mine, you know deep down that that's just not true, is it? That the Bible is actually full of stories of very real suffering and very real storms in the lives of God's people. And sometimes you'll hear, won't you, like people talking about the victorious life that we have in God, and you might be tempted to think, well, that life is simply like having all the good things and everything in life always being in order. Like our health is good, our wealth is good, our relationships, our career, everything else has just fallen perfectly into place, and that you're never going to have a difficult day. And of course, any of you guys who've been Christians for more than one day know that that's just a load of rubbish, right? Jesus says, in this world, you'll have trouble. And really, that's the whole pattern of the gospel, isn't it? That victory comes through suffering, not despite of it. And you see through the church in all the ages, and I think this is the message of the book of Revelation that John is trying to... I think I nearly hit leave the meeting. That would have been a real bad thing to do, wouldn't it? Whoops. You see in the book of Revelation, like the whole point of that book is that God's people are victorious despite the hardship and the suffering and the storms of life. And so as we get going, I just want to say really loud and clear, God leads his people into the storm. And I think we need to settle that in our hearts, because so many problems come, so many pastoral problems come in our life if we assume that God's plan for us isn't storms or suffering. Because when it comes, all of a sudden we start to question everything. Can God be real? Is God good? Does he love me? Is he there? All sorts of things come along. Why is God not fixing my life in my way, in my timing? We're going to come onto that a little bit more as we go through, but settle in your hearts, whatever you're suffering and whatever the storms of your life are today, settle in your hearts that God has led you into the storm that you're facing. Second thing I want you to see in the text is that God leads us into storms because God is at work in the storm. Does that make sense? God leads us into storms because he's at work. He has a purpose for the sufferings that we face. In this particular incident, if you flick to verse 40, you can see why Jesus decides to lead his disciples into the storm. It says this, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" You realize this whole incident was a setup, right, from Jesus. That he knew that there was a storm on the lake, and he decided to take his disciples right into the depths of it. And as he did so, he intentionally laid down on his cushion and went to sleep. Why? Because he wanted to teach his disciples to trust him with their lives. Do you see that? Does that make sense? The same is true for us. God does not wrap our lives in cotton wool, and he doesn't protect us from every challenge and trial, because God knows that there is a purpose in our suffering and that he wants us to learn to trust him with our lives. And we see that throughout the New Testament. That message comes across time and time again in the Bible. But one of the scriptures that I was reminded of when I was preparing this sermon is 1 Peter chapter 1, if I can find it. Now remember, the guy who writes 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, was in the boat. And sometime after his trip on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, he sits down to write to a bunch of churches who are suffering, and he writes these words. We'll start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Now listen to this, verse 6. "In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter, he's come to realize that God is at work in the storms of his life, right? That God is refining his faith, his trust in him. That just like gold gets refined, Peter realizes his faith also needed refining. And friends, Jesus leads us into suffering, not so that our faith would crumble and become weak, but so that it might be strengthened. So that our belief in God gets bigger and our dependence in God gets more real. And that is God's will for each of our lives today. Whatever you're facing and whatever you're going through and whatever is going on in the world right now at large, God wants us to learn to trust him more and more with our lives. So God leads us into the storm, and God is at work in the storm. And then number three, and this is so important, God is with us in the storm. This should be a wonderful comfort to every single one of us today, right? God is with us in the storm. You know, in the story, did you notice that Jesus is in the boat the whole time? It might sound like a silly question, but the disciples didn't realize, right? They didn't realize that the Son of God was there with them the whole time. And so the disciples panic because they forget who's with them. And one of the most simple but the most glorious truths of the Bible is that if you're a Christian, God is with you every single day of your lives. I think my favorite psalm of all is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is with us in the storms. You know, when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was crying out, why are you leaving me in my time of need? You know, Jesus was forsaken in his time of need so that we never get forsaken in our time of need. Isn't that awesome? That our sin and shame were dealt with completely on the cross to guarantee that God is with us every day of our lives. And so no matter what you're facing, or no matter how insane your world might get, God is with you in the storm. Now, some of you might be thinking this, well, Ben, if God is with me in the storm, then why on earth hasn't he fixed my pain and my problems? That's the big question that comes, right? If God is there, then why is he not doing anything? And so my fourth encouragement is this, that God is not just with you in the storm, God is for you in the storm, right? Now, one of the things I see all the time is because God's not sorting out my problems, he can't be good. And it's so interesting in the passage. Look what happens when they wake Jesus up. They don't say, Jesus, can you fix it? This is verse 38. Jesus, do you not care? Isn't that fascinating? Jesus, do you not care? Do you not love me? Are you not good anymore? Do you not care about my needs? Sometimes we can be tempted to believe that if God isn't fixing our problems in our way, on our timing, that he can't be the kind of God, he can't be the kind of God we need. You know, I'd have loved some of my problems, particularly in the last 12 months, to have got sorted a little bit quicker in the way that I wanted to. But real faith, God-honoring faith, is the kind of faith that says, even in the trial, even in the trouble and the difficulty, even in the question, why, God, is this happening, we can still say, no, he's still good. And the reason we know that God is still good is we don't look at our problems or our storms or at coronavirus or whatever it is, we look at the cross to see the goodness of God, right? We look at the cross. God's goodness towards every single one of us is not defined by the material blessings that come into our lives day by day. It's defined by Jesus dying in our place on the cross for our sin, that we could be made right with God and be given the gift of eternal life forevermore. That is the goodness of God on display. If we were to say, well, no, God's goodness should be seen in every circumstance of our lives, it would kind of make a mockery of Jesus, a homeless refugee who ultimately was executed for doing no wrong, right? Or the Apostle Paul, who faced beatings and stonings and hatreds and shipwrecks and everything else. No, great Christians throughout the ages have suffered horrendously for the cause of Christ. We don't see the goodness of God in our circumstances. Ultimately, we see it in what God has done through the cross that enables us to be free from sin forevermore. So God isn't just with us in the storm. God is for us in the storm. Number five, God is sovereign in the storm. Now, one of the reasons I found this story so helpful during this season is that something of the chaos and the panic and the uncertainty of the disciples in the boat kind of feels a bit like life has been for the last 3 months through this lockdown with coronavirus and everything else, right? We've seen just this, the fragility and the anxiousness coming out in people all around us. And I just love that the whole episode is about Jesus revealing his sovereignty over every storm of life. And look what happens in verse 39. Jesus awoke and he rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Can you just imagine that moment? How awestruck you would be. And one of the things I love about it is, you know that word in there, rebuked? Did you see that? This is the way I imagine it. I imagine Jesus wakes up, he steps up in the boat. I imagine he looks at his disciples as if he's going to rebuke them and say, "You be still, because I am God." But he doesn't look at them and do that. He turns to the sea and the waves and he rebukes them instead. That's the kind of merciful God that we have, right? And he shows off his great power and his great sovereignty that leaves them awestruck, both at his power and at his grace. And I just love that moment. God is sovereign in the storm. You know, Jesus is seated high above every ruler and authority and principality and power right now. There is nothing, not even that Satan himself can do, that isn't under the sovereign hand of God. So no matter what you're going through, whatever you're facing as individuals or as a church, God is in control. And so we don't have to be enslaved to the panic, because God is in control. We cannot understand, we can be upset, we can be hurt, we can even be honest with God, "Where are you? What on earth are you doing?" But we don't have to fall for the lie that somehow God has fallen off his throne, right? So God leads us into the storm. God is at work in the storm. Not only is God at work, but God is with us in the storm. God is for us in the storm. God is sovereign in the storm. And finally, and this is the most important one of all, if we're followers of Jesus today, God will lead us through the storm. Come back to the very first verse, verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side." You know, Jesus is truth. And when Jesus speaks, he speaks the truth. What did he say to his disciples? He said, "We're going to the other side." Have a look at chapter 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea. How good is that? How good is that? Friends, if you're in Christ today, this is your hope. That no matter what storms come your way, no matter what trouble or trial or difficulty you're facing, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he will lead you through the storms and lead you to a peaceful shore. That's the gospel, right? That at the end of this life, no matter how difficult or painful it is, no matter how uncertain, no matter how big the waves are that come crashing in, no matter how big the pain that you are facing is, there is a day coming on the other side of the grave where you will stand on a peaceful shore forevermore. You know, there's a great big difference, isn't there, between being caught in the middle of a storm, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, compared to being caught in the middle of a storm, knowing that you're going to reach a safe harbor. And friends, that's the gospel. You know, in Revelation 21, verse 1, it's an incredible verse. Incredible verse. John says, I saw the new heaven and the new earth for the first time, and the first earth had passed. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. When John is using the imagery of the sea there, he has in his mind the sea as being a picture of the storms and the trials and the difficulties of life. And John says, I can see a day in the future that's coming where there'll be no more suffering, where there'll be no more sea, where there'll be no more waves crashing into your life anymore. There's a day coming when the tears and the pain and the death and the disease and the hurt and the financial struggles and the relational strife, it's all going to stop. And we'll be on a safe and peaceful shore forevermore. And so as we close, I don't know what storms you're facing or how big the waves are right now, but I do know some things for certain. God has led you into the storm. God is at work in this storm. God is with you in your storm. God is for you in your storm. God is sovereign over your storm. And if you're in Christ, God will lead you through your storm. Incredibly, amazing promises from God to us in this difficult life. There is a peaceful shore coming for us for all eternity. Set your hopes on that. And you can say with the hymn writer, and I think we're going to sing it, it is well with my soul. Shall I pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you just for these incredible truths. We thank you, God, in the storms of our lives that you're with us, that you're working, that you're refining us, that you're with us by your Spirit, that you're sovereign over all of the challenges of our lives. Ultimately, Jesus, I want to thank you that if we're in Christ, we know that the storm will not rage forever and we will reach a peaceful shore. And I thank you for that incredible eternal hope that we have, that one day all hurt and pain will cease, that we'll be with you forever. And God, I want to pray that these truths would give us perseverance and endurance through the challenges of our lives. Would we fix our eyes on you and keep on running this race? God, would out the storms that we face not cause our faith to crumble, but cause us to throw ourselves on the rock of ages, time after time after time. In Jesus' name we pray.